about.
What's up, y'all? Live a Redneck here. We gonna do it again. Fired up, son.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We meet at last.
Pleasure to finally meet you. I'm a big fan.
Oh, really? Of what? Metamucil? Polio? The phonograph? A nice piece of fish? Segregated water fountains? Senior citizen discounts at Perkins Family Restaurants? Erectile dysfunction because of corroded penile arteries? Deviled eggs as an entree? Liking Ike?
You're an nincompoop.
I was down there, and I watch our police and our firemen down at 7-Eleven, down at the World Trade Center right after it came down.
Oh, yeah. It happened.
How about that whole thing?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You do not want Pat Boone on your ass.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Man, this is off the rails.
Roll another one.
Are you coming home with me?
Just like the other one.
Be your boyfriend.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, now I want to sniff some glue.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
You think?
Roll.
Go Ducks.
Just like the other one.
It's an outrage what it is.
This one seems to be about to end.
Now I respect you even less.
I don't have another cent.
How about that hole? How about that hole?
But the one got that joint.
That's beautiful.
You done destroying your life yet?
No, not yet. It's a work in progress. But thanks for asking.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, April 29th.
Is this 3 days in a row for you, Kevin?
Yeah.
Three days in a row?
I'm disappointed in myself, though, because I sort of liked my Wednesday's only policy.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was working out.
I'm frankly shocked. No? I assumed after Wednesday and Thursday, there's no way we were seeing you today this close to the weekend. You're a mystery.
I'm with you. I'm disappointed in me.
Hey, Chip, do you get a piece of that riot last night?
Like you
Please
do?
Hold. Her little legs are running to a microphone. She's still going. She's still going, and she's here. Maybe a heads up.
1,200
so
steps.
Be ready.
To the well, I thought you were standing next to Kevin, who's in front of a microphone.
She was, but she can't be heard from way down there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Laura, so let's rewind that.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. So, Chip, you get any piece of that riot last night?
I got a couple TVs.
Yeah.
You want one?
Oh, good.
Please.
Is it a problem? Look, vote for whoever you want to, and Donald Trump is going to be a hilarious president. But is there a problem where the man can't go anywhere and speak without the riot police having to be called in because people fight with each other at his rallies? Is that a problem at all or no?
I will say I happened to be outside a bar in a parking lot, and we just saw 10 cop cars with sirens passing by.
Oh, man.
Good things are going on at the Trump rally.
I think they ended up arresting about 20 people or something like that.
Oh,
a couple people got hurt. I mean, it's you see those kinds of demonstrations on the news in other countries. You know what I mean? Where there's no such thing as peaceable assembly, where every time crowds get together, people fight. But it's weird to see it happening in America almost every day now.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But Chip got a couple TVs, so in the end.
Well, that's the important thing.
That's all that matters.
That's a good point.
And Allie, I know you had a much more exciting night last night just in front of your TV watching one of the great dramas of our time unfold in real time.
I was not expecting to watch the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. And I got sucked in.
Have you ever watched it?
No. Why? Who cares?
Even for football fans, it's a little too geeky for most of us.
Right? Like, can you imagine being a dude with paint on your face and a foam finger? You fly to Chicago for
no.
that? Come on!
No, I can't.
No.
So, for folks who aren't into sports, this is not a sports story, but the backdrop is sports because there was a player last night who at one time was predicted to be, was going to be the number one pick
right.
in the NFL draft. When Tennessee had the number one pick before they traded it to the Rams, this kid, Laramie Tunsil from Ole Miss, he's a defensive lineman, was going to be the star of the draft, okay? Well, he has a troubled past, and I guess he has been censured multiple times in the past, right, Allie, for getting rental cars without having to pay for them. And some,
yeah,
you know,
he's had some issues with, you know, NCAA violations, accepting gifts type of things. And then also before the draft, details are pretty sketchy, but what happened was his stepdad was pushing around his mom. He stuck up for his mom. His stepdad charged, accused him of domestic violence. Then charges were dropped. But now the stepdad is suing him.
Right.
So it's a whole
it's a mess.
Situation that's
wow.
really ugly on many levels.
It is. And, you know, he's a real good football player. But last night on the TV, it was like we were looking at a little kid who was wearing a suit for the first time, who just had deer in the headlights because his whole world was unraveling because 13 minutes before the draft, an Instagram post appeared of him with a giant bong smoking out, a video of him smoking out.
Yeah, it was on Twitter.
That was on Twitter?
That one was on Twitter.
Okay. And then on Instagram, immediately afterward, were a whole bunch of text messages that he sent to an assistant athletic director at Ole Miss asking for money.
Yeah,
right?
To pay his mom's bills, to pay his rent. So text messages. But the video of him smoking, he's literally wearing a gas mask with the bong attached, getting all that smoke. And then I watched it and I'm like, well, maybe it's not him. Until he takes the mask off
uh-huh.
and he's just like,
and,
and laughing.
It's way him.
And I'm thinking, okay, this guy is dropping like a rock in the
yes.
draft. He's okay, not number three, not four, not five. Okay, wow, where is this guy
Second
going?
Second round, maybe.
And
yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, he smokes some weed. We yeah. get it.
How
NFL.
Many athletes?
All
have it,
all,
right?
All?
Or don't. Right.
How many GMs are busted for pill popping? How many? Like, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
That this guy is dropping like that.
Well, there are a lot of things absurd. And to the bigger issue, and Kevin, we've talked about this many times in the past, the fact that these players make millions of dollars for these schools and literally can't pay their rent. In
Absolutely.
Many cases, they can barely have there's not enough hours in the week for them to have a job because of school and football.
And I don't think they're allowed to. If they play, they can't work.
You can't have any job? I thought you could, but unrelated. But anyway.
Either way, it's a ripoff.
Yeah.
It's a giant ripoff. So, yeah. So the video with the weed and then the Instagram with the text messages.
Yeah.
And so he drops down to 13th in the draft. And incredibly appropriately, he is now a Miami Dolphin,
Woo!
Which is exactly what we would have expected.
Yeah. Dolphins strong.
I will say, Miami Dolphins, if he keeps his head on straight, they got the steal of the draft so far.
Yeah,
I mean,
he shouldn't
unreal.
Have done that.
Because he's still a good player, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe Tannehill doesn't have to run for his life all the time if this guy pans
true.
Out.
He's incredible. He has some issues with being hurt quite a bit.
Okay, but that's what the weed's for.
But
so.
That's what the
right?
weed's
it
for.
It was estimated yes. yesterday, by the way, that dropping from 1st to 13th may have cost him $15 million
yeah.
in the size of his contract.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, big deal. Now, so his accounts were hacked, clearly.
Yeah, and he was saying that video is from years ago and someone's been holding on to it. And, you know, rumors are, could it be his stepdad trying to just boom, nail
just
him right
them.
Before
yeah.
the biggest moment of his life, which if that's the case, I mean, someone's got to take him out, right?
He claims yeah, he's not responsible. TMZ Sports did catch up with his dad last night, and he says he didn't have anything to do with it. But who knows with that family where they're suing each other and everybody's accusing everybody of domestic violence? Who knows? But
plot twist, Bean.
Yeah?
Plot twist.
Tell me.
The Miami Dolphins leaked it.
Oh,
huh?
Smart.
Be a smart move.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just make sure he's available
wow.
when it gets to their pick.
Dun,
but,
dun, dun.
But they're the Dolphins, so do we believe
but
that they can pull that off?
His agent has, I think he's got a few other guys on the Dolphins.
Right.
Very connected with the team.
Right.
Okay.
Could have been the agent.
All right.
Chip. Like it.
Well, anyway, as you said last night, Allie, it was like watching a live 30 for 30 unfold.
It was unreal.
It just got crazier and crazier. And then, I know we got to move on, but then he's doing the, you know, the press conference afterwards, and he's sitting there, you know, at the desk, and they're asking him about the, and he's like, yeah, I took the money. And then somebody comes and just like ushers him off the stage, but he doesn't have anything else to say.
Wow.
Because, I mean, they asked him about these texts, and they're his, they're real, and he's like, yeah, I took the money. And then they're like, oh, this is all unfolding while he's up here. He doesn't know anything about this. Let's move on.
And now we're all going to pretend to be shocked that athletes take money from coaches.
Right.
And that boosters give athletes cars. Give me a break, you bunch of hypocrites.
I know. They need a redesign of that whole plan. They really do. So anyway, so there was a little bit of drama, a little bit of excitement even for non-sports fans to watch this thing unfold, and I'm very eager to see what happens next.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I never suspected you had a brain.
We have tickets for Captain America Civil War. Going to give those away in the 6 o'clock hour. We have Sal Masekela, our old friend, who goes by the name now Salema Masekela, I believe, is the host of a new show on TV called Vice World of Sports.
It's amazing.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Movie Beat, because it's Friday. We have Chris Hardwick, comedian in studio, talking about his Comedy Central special. And we have Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele from a little movie called Keanu.
Yes.
On the program today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
So you went to all the trouble to become a K-Rock Street Team member and get the password sent to you so you can buy tickets today. Don't forget that they go on sale at noon today.
That's a great tip.
I mean, because seriously, it's easy. It's pretty easy for our listeners to, you know, lose track of time, smoke out, go back to bed. A lot of things can go wrong, and you miss noon, and then you wake up, and it's over. So noon today, set an alarm on your phone, do whatever you have to do, make sure you're there to buy your tickets through Ticketmaster to join us Saturday, May 14th for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016 to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Weezer and Empire of the Sun and Panic at the Disco and Garbage and so much more. Get all the details at krock.com. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
You want to be some Ralph Garman?
No.
Put on that black leather jacket and that hair.
Do you want to fill in for showbiz?
I'm filled with rage, so I'm halfway there.
Perfect.
It's really good. We all laughed yesterday when we saw the Billboard article that came out about Blink-182's visit here.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Pretty strong.
It's pretty strong. Everything came from their visit to the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday. The title is Blink-182 Talks Bohemian Rhapsody, Andre 3000, and Gross Album Titles They Rejected. And then they went through and basically said, here's 12 things we learned from the interview. And they list, you know, things that we talked about, some of the songs that were involved, adding Matt Skiba, that type of thing. But then it's really number 10 that piqued our interest. They wrote, you read that right. The final track is actually called Bohemian Rhapsody. And yes, it's a cover of the Queen classic played entirely with hand farts.
Oh, my God.
So what happened was we were talking about that song. Bean brought up the title. Mm-hmm. And then they were saying, yes, there's a song called Bohemian Rhapsody on the album. And then Chip, it was hitting me in the arms. He's like, play the song. Play the hand farter because it's Bohemian Rhapsody with a hand farter. So I played this. Just as a joke.
Right.
The band knew it was a joke, and they thought it was funny, because clearly it wasn't their music.
Right.
And we were joking, oh, Matt, you were the right choice, that's the lead singer. Somehow, whoever listened to that and wrote the article believed it to be true.
Well, I don't think any of the guys in Blink said anything about it not being true or whatever. They just laughed.
Right.
So maybe if you're listening to it, you don't get that.
Well, now I think they need to change their album.
To this song.
Right?
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. It's my favorite song of all time.
Oh, we just chuckled about that. That was good times. We get a, I don't even know what you would call it. What would you call the report that we get for the Showbiz Beat?
It's a prep sheet.
A prep sheet that you can use for some Showbiz stories.
And we've identified the fact that it's about 60% accurate. Has that stopped us? No, it has not.
No, it has not. And the fact that this is one of the stories. I just want to read it because why
okay.
would this be in it? John Stamos is one of the hottest guys in Hollywood, and he's just as smoking between the sheets. People magazine reports the grandfathered star has a signature move in the sack called the Stamos Straddler, but he truly excels at cuddling. This is that, a
that's
story.
The whole thing?
You guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? The Stamos Straddler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mock that story, but if you had the opportunity for a little bit of the Stamos Straddle,
listen,
you'd take it.
I am willing to research the story.
That's nice of you.
Thank you.
That's really
I
nice
will do
you.
That.
Go the extra mile.
But really. But he excels at cuddling. Who's tipping them off to this?
I don't know.
Oh, good Lord. Yesterday we found out about the new show that Alec Baldwin will be hosting. The Match Game is coming back with him as the host. But now we're finding out that it's going to be part of a Sunday night game show block.
Oh.
Yes, it's going to be The Match Game, as well as Celebrity Family Feud, which of course Steve Harvey hosts, and the $100,000 Pyramid, which will be hosted by, take a guess.
Will be hosted by Barack Obama.
Great guess.
I didn't know the Pyramid was also back in
right.
addition to Match Game.
Yes.
I had no idea.
It is back.
Is it...
Becky with the good hair?
No.
It should be, though.
It really should be.
She does good
is
work.
It, Tokyo Tony?
No. Oh, also good. These are great ideas.
Huh. No. Wow, where's Mickey Dolan?
Oh, we'll have an update on that in just a little bit.
Charlie Manson.
No, he's busy. He's behind bars.
Paul?
Jesus.
Paul, the apostle, as well as mm-hmm. Jesus, both. Not available. No. The Riddler? No. And is Paul an apostle? I don't want those
yeah,
emails.
Yeah, he is.
Okay,
he is.
Good.
Yeah. Good call.
Good. No. The answer...
Kurt Ferguson.
Dr. Drew Pitsky.
Neither. The answer actually makes a lot of sense when you realize it's on ABC.
Okay.
And he's a big name at ABC... Making moves, moving from Kelly and Michael over to GMA.
I'm not getting any hints
Michael,
here.
Michael Strahan.
No.
All right, all these
agree
celebrities.
Corbin Burnson.
It's Michael Strahan. It's Michael
Lou
Strahan.
Lou Reed.
It's Lou Reed?
No.
Oh.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
California.
I guess we're dead now.
All of these stars born today, April the 29th. Singer Willie Nelson is 83. Bean, is he one of the people you're pre-sad about?
Yes, he's the one I'm most pre-sad about.
Yeah, I get it. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld is 62. Daniel Day-Lewis is 59. Michelle Pfeiffer is 58. Rapper Master P is 49. And actress Uma Thurman is 46. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz Beat.
So next Friday, you guys, is Captain America Civil War from Marvel. You get to see it on Wednesday at the Big Deal Theater at IMAX headquarters right now. It's a KREX exclusive screening at 1-800-520-1067. This time around, we're going to play a game that we love and love to call Beat Beer Mug.
It's time to be beer mug. It's time to be beer mug. It's time to be beer mug. Let's beat them to death.
Nothing like hitting beer mug in the head and in the
no
arms.
No headshots.
And in the gunt.
There's no rules.
Just,
the
just
gunt? Can you explain what a gunt is, Bean, please?
Look it up. Look it up.
Look it up.
Yeah. Kevin, the callers are on the line. How's this would work, please?
All right, we're going to ask Beer Mug a question. It involves a number. He's going to give us an answer, and then all you have to say is the correct answer lower, is the correct answer higher, or is Beer Mug right on? And I can tell you right now, Beer Mug will not be right on. So that's all you have to do. Let's begin with Jerry in Anaheim. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. All right, the question is for Muggs. You wait until he gives an answer, okay?
All right.
Marvel's The Avengers was the most successful Marvel movie to date. Beer Mug, how much money did Marvel's The Avengers make?
The first Avengers.
Yes.
Now, is this domestic or worldwide?
It's worldwide.
Worldwide. Worldwide. I'm going to go with $780 million worldwide.
All right, Jerry, is the correct answer lower than that, higher than that, or was that right on?
That's lower.
Sorry, it's higher. It's
$1.5 really
billion.
Woo!
Wow. How are you clapping?
Yeah.
You're way off.
Come on, Jerry. I don't get beat. That's why I'm clapping.
You were way off. He was just worse. All right. Let's go to Adam in Azusa. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. All right, Beer Mug, here's your question. In Captain America Winter Soldier, Steve Rogers teams up with fellow Avenger and S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Black Widow to battle an assassin known as Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. Speaking of winter, the most snow to fall in any 24-hour period in the U.S. was in Silver Lake, Colorado. Beer Mug, your question is, in inches, what was the record for the most snow to fall in one 24-hour day? How many inches of snow in 24 hours?
Let's see, Colorado is it's up there in elevation.
Okay, good.
So
that's helpful. That
we're going to go, I'm going to go with.
One day,
245 inches of snow.
All right. Adam, is the actual answer.
It's a lot of snow.
It is a lot of snow. Adam, is the answer lower or higher or the same?
Lower.
That's a ridiculous
damage.
Yes. It is 75.8 inches.
Oh,
and that's
okay. So
crazy.
I was off a little bit.
So beat Beer Mug.
Yes.
All right. Congratulations. You win.
He literally is beating beat right now.
All right. Hey, quiet.
245 inches be about 20 feet of snow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a ridiculous guess.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no question.
20 feet?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to George in Hollywood. Hi, George.
Reasonable.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. You ready? Beer Mug's going to answer, then you tell us lower, higher, or the same. You ready?
Okay.
In 1989, scientist Hank Pym resigned from S.H.I.E.L.D. after discovering their attempt to replicate his Ant-Man shrinking technology because he believed the technology could be dangerous. Speaking of ants, Beer Mug, how many different species of ants are there worldwide? How many different species of ants are there worldwide?
Oh, this is so close because Muggs knows everything there is to know about bees, but I don't know what he knows about ants.
I know a little bit about ants. So you got the regular ant, like the picnic ant. And then
you don't
the,
have to name them.
And then you got the fire ant.
Right. All right, that's two.
And then you got the piss ant.
How many?
I don't.
How
no,
many
that's
world, not an ant.
No.
How many
worldwide?
Different species? I'm going to go 35 different species of ants.
35 different species.
Another very reasonable guess.
George, is the actual answer lower, higher, or is that right?
Higher.
Higher is correct, yes.
Wow.
12,000.
That's a lot of ants.
Yes, 12,000.
Ow!
Congratulations,
ow!
You got tickets. All right.
Beat the crap out of Beer Bug.
All right.
Okay, Chip.
Cruz in Anaheim. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Muggs is dominating. That's what's going on.
Ah,
all right, you ready? I was just kidding. Everybody has beaten us. Here's the question. Robert Downey Jr., of course, is Iron Man. He's done three live-action Iron Man films since 2008. He was in Marvel's The Avengers 2012. He was in Age of Ultron. He's also the highest-paid actor in the world last year. Beer Mug, last year exclusively in 2015. How much money did Robert Downey Jr. make in 1 year?
2015. I'm going to go $300 million.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. Cruz, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is that right on?
It's higher.
It's not higher. It's lower. It's actually $80 million. And that's a lot.
In fact, it's the most of any actor in the world last year.
So that happened.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. No, he didn't. I don't think.
Chip's like teeing off.
I don't think he beat Beer Mug because he has to come up with the right answer. So Chip was just
for
nailing
nothing.
Him for nothing.
All right. Ow.
Hey.
You're getting beat up by a girl right now, by the way.
Mugs, we're trying to play a game here. Take it easy. Tony in Lakewood, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. All right, this
playing
is
for those just joining us, we're playing for Marvel's Civil War, Captain America Civil War. You get to see it on Wednesday. It opens everywhere on Friday, and we're playing Beat Beer Mug.
This is a comic book question. Beer Mug, the character of Thor, made his first appearance in the comics in August 1962 in the issue in Journey into Mystery. That wasn't the only big thing to happen in Marvel's comics that month, though. Also hitting the shelves was Amazing Fantasy 15, the comic that introduced Spider-Man to the world. Speaking of spiders, in Brazil, there's a spider called the Wandering Spider that if it bites you, it can cause long and painful erections.
Oh, go on.
Speaking of erections, Beer Mug, how many times a day does the average man think about sex? How many times a day does the average man think about sex?
475 times a day.
All right, 475 times. Tony, is the actual answer lower, higher, or is that right?
Lower.
I'm sorry, it's higher.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. It's about every 7 seconds, which works out to 7,200 times a day.
Wow.
That can't be true.
That's fantastic.
Look it up. So really?
It's a miracle we get anything done.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, let's go to Carlos in Whittier. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, good morning.
All right, we only have two more questions, so good luck. Beer mug, you got to pay attention to the question here.
Oh, sorry.
Stop talking to Dave.
I'm sorry.
The question is specifically for you.
Okay.
All right. Captain America's shield is physically indestructible under normal conditions. The shield proves strong enough to absorb Hulk's strength, to repel an attack from Thor's mystical hammer. And in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, the shield is also known to be able to cushion falls from great heights. Speaking of falling from great heights, at around 120,000 feet on the fringes of space, the air is so thin that a falling human body would travel fast enough to exceed the speed of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Beer mug, what is the speed of sound in miles per hour?
I'm going to go...
Speed of sound?
From that one movie that I don't know the name of that they broke the land speed record. I think they broke the sound barrier.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say it is 480 miles per hour.
All right. So you got that from that movie where they put that in there?
I think so.
Okay. Carlos, is the actual answer higher, lower, or is that right?
I'm going to say lower.
Oh. It's higher. It's 768 miles per hour.
I'm the best.
Wow. But you're not, we thought we'd give all these away. We have tickets to give away.
Well, right. The contestants are even worse than beer.
They
mug.
Are.
That's the problem.
All right, we have one last question. This is John in Anaheim. Hi, John.
How's it going?
Not well. Here's Beer Mug's question. Beer Mug, Captain America Civil War starred Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, and Chris Evans. Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans starred in three other movies previously, the first Avengers movie, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and The Nanny Diaries. Speaking of nannies, Beer Mug, not that you would know because... What use would you have for this information? But how much money per week does the average nanny in America make before taxes?
Before taxes.
How much does a nanny in the United States make a week before taxes?
So, like, not talking about Kanye and Kim's nanny, because she probably makes...
The average?
The average, yeah. Nah, okay.
Nanny.
How hot is this nanny, by the way, before he answers?
There's no...
That makes a difference.
I don't think the average pay takes that into account.
I'm going to go...
Does the nanny have additional skills?
That's not factored in.
Okay. I'm going to go $400 a week.
$400 a week?
Yes.
Bad news for you, my friend.
Oh,
all
no.
right, let's go to John. Hi, John. Lower, higher, or the same?
Higher,
yes!
Wow!
705. It's 705.
The wrong profession. Oh! Oh my God! Chips like Mike Tyson. Oh!
You beat Beer Mug. Oh! You beat the other callers. Please enjoy Captain America: Civil War. See it next Wednesday at the IMAX headquarters, and of course for the rest of us everywhere in theaters on May 6th. This has been Beat Beer Mug.
That was Beat Beer Mug. We found something he's actually good for, but now we can't fire him because we really want to beat him again.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Our longtime X Games buddy, Sal, now Salema Masakela, joins us in studio coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Next hour, I should say, on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got a new program on Vice World that I think you guys are going to love. Also, Key and Peele make their return to the Kevin and Bean Show just after 7 as well. So that, my friends, that's a big hour, right?
Yes.
Keanu
is the film. Yep,
that's
Key and Peele.
Can't wait.
Anyway, that's all on the way. First, though, in for Ralph Garman today, here's Alan Kay with the show Biz Beat on a Friday.
Bean, what's your Twitter stock at? Do you know?
It's under 15 now.
Okay.
1480 or something like that? Why do you ask?
I'm asking because I'm going to do a story about DreamWorks stock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So yesterday, Comcast bought DreamWorks Animation for $3.8 billion in cash. That means that DreamWorks stock, which was at 24 and changed just a week ago, is now valued at $41
a
share.
That's more.
That's more. I think that's how it's supposed to work.
You should do that, Bean.
Yeah, yours should be more, Bean. How do you make that happen?
Wait, hold on a second.
Right.
Did I get this backwards? You're supposed to buy low and then sell high?
Yeah.
I got it the other way around.
I know. A lot of people do that. It's very weird. And Steven Spielberg, he had a 5% stake in DreamWorks. That means he's going to get $187 million in cash, according to the Wall Street Journal.
In cash?
In
They're just
going to
bring a truck to his house
a
and just unload it?
A truck is pulling up right now, and he's like, oh, again, so much money. That's what he says. God,
I read a... Look, if you got the right money and the right stock, obviously that's the way to go. But I read a story yesterday about Amazon had higher than expected first quarter profits. And mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos, the leader of Amazon, I think he made 6 $1 billion in one day? Is that possible?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You in like 20 minutes.
Bean, you should do that.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
That seems better.
I did not choose wisely when I bought that Twitter stock.
You bought but it at what?
Well, I bought it the day it went on sale, so it was around $45 a share. Now it's $14. Although I will say that...
I'm sorry, what?
It was $45 and now it's $14. But I will...
Wait.
$14. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Everyone at the time, listeners included, told me it was a terrible investment and don't do it. But what did I say? I'll show you.
Right. Yeah, and when does that happen?
Did.
Dude, I'm in it for the long haul now.
Right.
Yeah.
You laugh now, but fast forward a couple
You're
years.
You're in it for the long haul just because there's no way you can sell it now.
Right, exactly. Fast forward to a couple years when it's down under a buck.
Right.
Then who's laughing?
I think still all of
again,
us.
Not
oh,
you.
Still you.
Yeah.
Still you. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How about some monkeys news?
Okay.
Right?
Is it Sunday night at midnight already?
Oh, no.
Monkeys.
Well, the Monkees announced recently that they're returning May 27th with a new studio album called Good Times. That's their first studio album since 1996's Justice. And it's also commemorating the band's 50th anniversary. But here's where I think you might be interested. Some of the songwriters that have contributed to this album. Death Cab for Cutie's Ben Gibbard and Oasis's Noel Gallagher.
Really?
What?
Really?
I found that stunning. Another songwriter, someone we know and love right here on the show, a little man called Rivers Cuomo from Weezer.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And we actually have a little taste of his song that he wrote called She Makes Me Laugh.
Maybe I should take her on safari. You'll see us way from our canoe if that's what she wants to do. Tell me what's wrong with that. She makes me laugh.
Wow, he can write a song.
He really can't. That's lovely.
But aren't there just like one former monkey and like one of the dogs still in the band?
I don't think there was a dog. Mickey Dolenz, Peter Tork, and Mike Nesmith all worked on this album. They're going to be doing a big tour kicking off in May, but Mike Nesmith is not going to be involved with the tour.
Okay, so two of them. So they should call it Two Monkeys.
Well, three on the album,
okay.
Two on tour.
All right.
And the dog.
And the dog.
Right?
Playing that for everybody. Who missed the Monkees?
Okay,
that's right.
This week, because Antenna TV took them off the air.
What?
To show some '90s sitcom show called Small Wonder about a robot girl.
Oh, don't you disparage Vicky?
Of course, they show the Flying Nun.
The Flying Nun,
wow.
Right?
But no more monkeys.
No more monkeys.
Right.
So get ready for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear a lot of monkeys and see a lot of monkeys.
Yeah.
Hopefully Antenna TV will bring them back. Start your letters now.
Right.
Start writing.
How do we start a letter? I don't...
Start it now, Bean. Start writing, he said. I think he answered that question. Yeah. Start writing.
Rodney was right. 2016, big year for the monkeys with this new record coming out.
Gotta believe Rodney now.
Yep.
Everything he says.
Sure.
Absolutely. Let's do some birthdays, shall we? All of these stars were born today. April the 29th, singer Willie Nelson is 83 years old. Please stay strong, Willie. We need you. Daniel Day-Lewis is 59. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld is 62. Michelle Pfeiffer is 58. Rapper Master P is 49. And actress Uma Thurman is 46. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to take you guys back to a dark time. Remember last September when Key and Peele went off the air and we were like... What now, guys?
How do we go on?
How do you pick up the shattered pieces of what's left of your life and navigate the rest of the world when there's no Key and Peele? Well, I got great news for you guys. They're back. Keanu, the movie, in theaters everywhere today. We couldn't be more excited to welcome back to the program both Key and Peele. Keegan, Jordan should both be on the phone right now on separate lines. Hey, boys, how are you?
We're here. Gentlemen, good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
I was hoping that you guys lived together like the monkeys and that you guys would just be passing one phone back and forth. That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
It's a very topical reference.
It's a very big house. It's me, Jordan, Chelsea, and their dog, Jammer.
That's beautiful. It sounds like one of you is out of place, but that's a beautiful story.
Well, we have been, since the first trailer came out in February, we have literally been counting the days, guys, to go see this movie because it looks so funny. And I know that inspiration is a tough thing to talk about because who the hell knows where ideas come from? But there had to have been peyote involved in this one, right?
There were, you know what, there, I'm not going to lie, there was some substances involved in this, yes. We wanted to make a movie that kind of took the voice of our show and put it up on the big screen, and we made it about a kitten.
Why a kitten and not a puppy?
It's a good question. Yeah, kittens, you know, first of all, we wanted to do something that we haven't seen before, mm-hmm. and you haven't seen a kitten movie. Now,
Garfield
doesn't count. Garfield is already a full-grown fat slob, so he doesn't count. But and there's been plenty of dog movies, and we thought there was a dearth of kitten movies. So it's like a kitten's always kind of – it's like the most vulnerable pet.
Uh-huh.
And in this movie, you know, it's like it's in danger in the best way. Mm-hmm. Puppies don't even know there's danger. So I think a kitten is a good juxtaposition for the rest of the stuff that's happening in the movie.
How many of those weird...
Why not a kitten?
Why not a kitten, not? Indeed?
How many of those weird conversations where you had to ask yourself, you know, which pet should it be? And you go back and forth, like when you're in the van and you play Freedom by George Michael. I was wondering, what other songs did you consider? You must have been arguing about some ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we had, as far as the music goes, you know, we needed the most Caucasian music ever.
Right, that's it.
We needed the whitest music ever. So we were thinking about, like, Simon and Garfunkel, Paul and Oates.
Billy Joel.
Right. You know, George Michael just ended up, that's the one that we knew as soon as his music comes on, everyone's going to be bopping their heads. And, you know, it was a perfect fit for the movie.
When that song came on in the trailer, I literally said, that is my jam. And then you immediately, I was like, okay, that's why they did it. For chicks like me.
For white girls.
That's exactly it. Yeah, he sneaks up on you. He can be as white as the day is long. But that guy's got soul.
I'm saying.
He's got soul. He's got catchy hooks. You can't help yourself.
But he has white soul, though, I think.
Still soul, Kevin.
Yeah,
still soul.
White soul. Oh, yeah. Right.
Talking to Key Appeal here on the Kevin Beach Show about the movie Keanu, finally available everywhere today. I want to go back to the cat thing for just one second because maybe the reason there haven't been more movies made about cats is they have to be way more difficult to work with as animal actors, don't they, than dogs? They're hard to train, aren't they, guys?
Oh, yeah. But our trainers were amazing. And you know what it is really at the end of the day? Lots of food, lots of catnip. That's what gets the job done.
Yeah.
And so they would take different kittens that had different personalities. Some kittens were very boisterous and liked to run. Some liked to snuggle and sleep. And you train them to their own strengths. You train them to their own personality. And it ended up working out really well. We're super happy with the way it turned out.
So you trained a cat to be a gangster.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of the cats felt a real affinity to wearing do-rags. Other cats, not so much.
A cat in a do-rag just has me going to the theater. You didn't need to do anything else.
That's the idea.
Tell us about getting Keanu Reeves to voice and how he turned you down first, right? Or his people.
You know, when he first heard about the project, I don't think he knew what it was, what was going on. When he first saw the trailer a couple months ago, or his sister showed him the trailer, and he was like, cool, these guys are wacky. And he reached out, and, you know, I'm not going to give anything away, but there are a couple of moments. It's not a talking cat movie, but there is a couple moments where we do need some dialogue from the kitten. Especially
from the kitten, yes.
As you said at the beginning of the interview, it may harken back to some substance use. Who knows?
All right,
but right, yeah.
Is it true that he asked?
Wonderful, and he took time out of his schedule. He took time out of his schedule from shooting John Wick 2 just to give us the voice, which was really lovely of him.
Which this is a little John Wicky, if you think about it.
It's funny, guys. It's a complete and utter coincidence. That movie came out. Jordan and Alex had written the script actually a couple of years. They had started working on the script a couple of years before John Wick came out. In fact, right, Jordan, when John Wick came out, we had a little bit of a panic.
Yeah.
I thought we like, thought somebody like, had gotten word of our script and had somehow tried to get this. We thought someone made the serious version of Keanu.
That's phenomenal.
Oh, my God. What a weird moment of panic where you're like, oh, my God, they just did our movie.
They just did our movie and they got right. Keanu yeah. Reeves in it.
And yeah. Like, how would they know about our movie? How would they even know that movie? How did they tap Jordan's mind? We're actually in the Matrix. We're actually in the Matrix.
Is it true that he at one point asked if you were making fun of him?
You know, I don't know if that's true. You know, we still haven't met the guy. We understand he's very, very nice, very cool, very, very smart guy. I would imagine that the first time it came around, he was like, what is this?
Right.
You know, that he,
I don't
you
understand.
Know.
I don't understand. What is this? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, and then,
I don't know.
Once
I don't
you
know
saw the trailer, everything came
question.
Clear.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But I would. I mean, I would. Yeah.
Yeah. If I was him, I would have been worried about that. But no, it's all in good fun. It's all homage to him. And it really is, you know, we named the kitten Keanu out of love for his movies and wow. Point Break and The Matrix and now John Wick.
When the trailer yeah. came out and people were losing their minds, something that made me laugh so hard where people were like, I just wish this was a real movie. It's so yeah. sad this is just a sketch for yeah. YouTube. I'm like, it's a real movie, you jackasses. It's real.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Why would we go to that much trouble just to make a fake trailer? I mean, I guess we've done it. I guess we've done things like that on our show. It's like, I'm sorry, it's not a sketch you saw online. You saw that trailer on a commercial on Real TV.
Right.
How would we have pulled that one off?
Yeah.
Well, like
no, yeah. Peele, they can do anything.
They can do anything. Like Ali said, all we needed, we were in at Cat in a Do-Rag, but then you add your Key and your Peele, and you add your Method Man and your Luis Guzman and your Will Forte and your Nia Long and your Rob Hubel and so many very funny people. It just looks tremendous. We're so excited yeah. to go see it this weekend, you guys, really.
Thank you,
guys, for all the support through the years. We really appreciate all the support.
You bet. Great to have you guys back on the Kevin Bean Show. All the best to you, my friends.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Appreciate
it, Ali. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you're going to hold some sort of international sporting event, whether it's an Olympics or an X Games or a World Cup, you don't do it without this young man behind the microphone. It's always a thrill to catch up with our friend Sal, also known as Salema Masakella, who joins us back in studio on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. I am so happy to be back. It's been way too long since I've seen you wonderful humans.
I did see you bitching this morning about giving up a good surf day to come in and hang out with us, so we appreciate that up front.
Well, you know, I got to be up front.
Is it nice out there?
The waves were really good this morning, and I made the mistake of going and checking them before.
Oh, no.
And I was like,
don't do that.
Damn it.
You're just a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. But then I got excited.
How often do you still surf? You're very busy now. How often do you get a chance to get out there in the waves?
When I'm home, I try to surf a few times a week if the waves are good. But I just went a month without surfing. And,
whoa.
And because I've been on the road. I was in South Africa, New York, San Francisco, back to New York, and then home. And I paddled out. And it's one of those moments where you're like, okay, do I still know how to do this? And, you know, guys are giving – all the locals are like, well, you haven't even been out here, bro. Like, what do you think? You can just show up when the waves are good? And I'm like, come on, guys.
I feel like you were a professional surfer for long enough that you probably don't forget how to do it, right?
You don't forget how to do it, but you lose timing. Like, you know when you go on vacation and you haven't been on the radio for a while?
Yeah, yes.
And you're like, wait, I don't – you lose those little – just those little things.
Yeah, yeah, the rhythm, yeah.
The rhythm. It's the – and surfing's a rhythm thing. And then, you know, because it's me, everyone's like – there's like a microscope on me. Like, let's see if he's still got it.
But, I like your impression of the other surfers.
That's what they sound like. Like when I paddle out, they're like, yeah, Sal. How's it? Right on. Cool. Yeah. It's so good. And you think to yourself, that's a caricature of surfing. And I understand why people portray surfers that way, because for the most part, that's what
it's very accurate.
That's what it is. Waterlogged.
Now,
Now, let's take care of some business up top here, because when I watched the first episode of your new show called Vice World of Sports, which airs Wednesday nights on Viceland, which is a fascinating new channel, by the way. I hope people are checking it out, because there's so many interesting, unique voices on that channel. So this World of Sports show, I noticed that you were credited not as Sal on the show, but as Salema, and that was a surprise to me. And if it's not a bad question, can I ask you why?
It's not a bad question at all.
What if it was?
Yeah, that'd be very awkward right now.
This was in the writer. I'm out of here.
I'm going to go surf.
I could do a Birdman and just drop my headphones and leave. Put some respect on my name. My grandfather's name is Salema, and mm-hmm. Salema is my actual name. And when I moved to Southern California from the East Coast, literally I moved to Carlsbad, which was population, I don't know, 30,000. Five of those people were black. And not a lot of them had exotic names, other than the Mexicans.
Right.
Who had five of them each. And so the first week, you know, you're introducing yourself to kids, and I felt like I was in a new planet. I literally felt like Ralph Macchio and the Karate Kid. Like, what is this place?
What's
what
going on
kind
around
of language
me?
Are you talking? Why are you no one wearing clothes? And I'd introduce myself as Salema, and people be like, so what? That's so hard, man. It's like three syllables, Salema. And one day a kid came up to me, like, his eyes were like beaming. He's like, dude, we got it. I was like, you got what? He's like, Sal. Sal, bro.
As if they went back and had meetings to try solve this issue?
They'd had a tribunal, and they came back like, Sal. And it was like, yeah, Sal. And that's how Masichella was born. And it was like a cool nickname. And I enjoyed it. And then when I first started in television and ESPN, I actually would font my name as Salema.
Oh, okay.
But people would call me Sal on air. And I was like, oh, that's cool. At least my family will not be like, who is this Sal guy?
Right.
You know? I mean, I have a South African family, and they're watching, and they're happy that you're on television. But why are they calling you this name? Who is this Sal? And when I went to do the NBA... In 2003, the guy who was the president of the network at the time came up to me, and it was a classic conversation. Halftime of one of the games, and he comes up to me in the media room. He's like, you know, we're really excited about where you're going with your career, and everyone's excited. You know, you're the host of the X Games now. We got you on the NBA. We want to make you a star. And I need you to start thinking big picture. When people see your name on television, font, and he's like, you know, this Salah, there, that's what they're thinking. And we don't want that.
Really?
We want them to just, we want you, them to see you and to hear you. And he literally did the thing in quotes with his hands in the air. It's just like, Sal Masichella, can you do that for me?
Was that offensive to you?
At the time,
it was. Or did you just think it was ridiculous?
It wasn't strange. Offensive, but I thought it was ridiculous.
Right.
And it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? You win.
Fine.
It's like, underselling cool. Your audience's intelligence is what it is.
Which is probably right.
It's just totally true, given our current framework of where our country's in. You're like, I actually get it. Can you imagine Donald Trump be like, what? What?
You might still get deported, and you were bored here. So
exactly.
Look out.
Down. And Sal Masichella,
became so well known that everybody called you that.
Everyone called me that, and it was a great sort of character for what I was doing. But I feel like what I'm doing now is more based on stuff that I want to be doing and is really truly about me as opposed to just playing a personality on television. I'm getting to go and tell these real stories, and I'm getting to be me without having to be the television host.
Right.
Like, people actually get to know me on these journeys. And I was like, you know what? I think it's time to come full circle. And people
good for you.
You know, can call me Sal. But
is it more difficult since you became famous as Sal to change your name now, or not at all?
No. I mean, I cut my dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You know? And that was another thing that for the years that I was at ESPN and was at E, like, I had a clause in my contract. They're like, you can't cut those off until you call us and you get permission. And
wow.
When I left E, there was this thing where I was like, man, there was all these years when I wanted to get a haircut that I couldn't get a haircut without having 12 people want to have a debate about it. And I was in a relationship for 6 years with a wonderful girl, and it went south. And when we broke up, no one had informed me that, hey, heartbreak makes you do weird things. I had, you know, and it was coming for me.
Yeah.
And I woke up that day, and I was that girl. And I went, I called my buddy, and I said, I'm coming to your shop right now. And he's like, why? And I said, because you're going to cut my hair. And I cut up my dreads off without asking anybody, and it was like, whoa, I'm free. And then I think that started a whole trend in as far as all the choices that I started making professionally. I started saying no more to like easy things mm-hmm. and really trying to dig into like, what do I want to do? And then I guess the name thing kind of was a...
Look who's become a beautiful butterfly, you guys.
Look who's our little boy is growing up. How beautiful
is this? I got to say, like, you guys have been such incredible supporters. Like, there's no other radio station in L.A. that's given me the love that you guys have, like, over the course of my entire career.
We're not doing
career.
It as a favor. You're great.
It means a lot. I mean, when we first came to L.A. with the X Games, you know, you guys have no matter what I've been doing, you guys have always supported. So when I got the call that I was coming in here, I was really excited.
Well, we're excited to have you, and we're excited to take a very quick break and come back and find out all about the Vice World of Sports, and I just want to say this, and that is my favorite shows on television are shows that are educational but also wildly entertaining, and you are 10 out of 10 on both of these things.
Hey, now!
You're taking me to places I've never been and telling me stories I've never told and done it in a fascinating way, and it's so well done. I can't wait to talk more about it. Vice World of Sports airs Wednesday nights on Viceland. That's a TV channel, you guys, in addition to being online. More with our guest, Salema Masekela, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Our longtime friend, Salema Masekela, in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show, talking about his new series on Viceland. You are not just a pretty face anymore, my friend. This is your show, right? You're executive producer on this, Vice World of Sports.
EP, brother.
What is the mission statement of the program?
I think the mission statement for us is to go and tell real stories about people and places that you've never been to, don't know about, and when you're done, feel connected or feel like you know something about that place and those people, and oh, by the way, sports.
Yeah.
But not like you don't have to be a sports fan to watch our show.
No, not at all. Not at all. Are there sports in every country in the world?
Yeah. And there's random.
Isn't that interesting?
Random ass sports in many places of the world. You know, like they have sports in Italy where they like make giant totem poles out of humans and see which totem pole doesn't fall and that people don't break themselves.
Don't they grease it and you have to climb up?
Yeah, there's those. You know, there's some wild sports in the world, especially when you go like out in the Scandinavian stuff where it's cold and they've had to invent things.
Where you carry your wife, that one, the race crazy. Where you carry your wife on your back. Yeah. You've seen that one in Finland, right?
Throw a stone over the horse while carrying your child in front of you and your wife on your back.
Episode number one of your show aired this past Wednesday night, and it's called The Boys of Bukom. And it takes you to the country of Ghana, which with your X Games work and other work, you've probably been to most countries in the world. Had you ever been to Ghana before, though?
Why would there be no Ghanaian X Games? No, there was never a qualifying event in Ghana. I've been to South Africa because my family's from South Africa. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I've spent time in Africa, but no, I had never been to Ghana before.
And Bukom is special. Why?
Bukom is special because it's a small little neighborhood. It's not even a neighborhood. You could put like the Staples Center on top of the actual space that is Bukom.
Wow.
As far as square footage is concerned. But then there's 50,000 people there.
And wow. Responsible for more champions per capita than anywhere else in the world. That was the most shocking thing I've ever heard.
More boxing world champions per capita than any other place. And this is a little basically fishing village with the barest of bare necessities.
Did you know why that was the case, or was that the reason for going?
Well, we kind of went to go find out why, because we'd read these articles about it, and it was really fascinating. And then you go there, and this particular people, most of the people who live there are of the Ga people in Ghana, and they're traditionally warriors, going back thousands of years. And then you dip into the culture, and you hang out in the neighborhood, and you're walking down the streets, and where you would see kids like maybe skateboarding or, you know, kicking a soccer ball around, you just see everybody's like slap boxing and shadow boxing everywhere you go. And you're like, this is weird. And then you see two kids get in a fight, in a real fight, and the adults don't break them up. As long as another kid doesn't jump in, they'll let the two kids fight it out.
No kidding.
And then they shake hands, give each other a hug, and keep it moving. I saw grown-ups. I saw adult women. Like, no lie, at a certain point, we were shooting an interview piece, and we look over, and I see these two women, and it's getting verbal, next thing you know, bam, they're going at it, and nobody broke them up.
Nobody does anything
until
about
it. Like someone was going to get gravely hurt. They break them up, everyone gives a hug and keep it moving. And it's kind of like in 300, yeah, where they got the little kid, and they're toughening them up, and then they send him out to the bear. That's kind of what it felt like amongst.
Wow.
Fighting is just natural. I mean, you probably saw the scene in the show where they erect a boxing ring in the middle of the street.
Unreal.
They run some power up a telephone pole, and all the kids from the whole neighborhood come out, and they just have boxing matches, best of three rounds, the crowd cheers, and they did that from sundown into the wee hours of the morning.
So they train from birth
fighters. To be fighters. It's just part of...
It's a survival instinct, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It is fascinating, and it also seemed like, and you mentioned and spotlight several of the previous Ghana champions throughout the years, is they don't leave either, right? Mm-hmm. They come back and be with their people. I mean, there's no great desire to leave that little village.
No.
That's the part that got me the most. I was telling you off air that you made a point at the end of it of saying, for so many, once you succeed, like this man did in Vegas, the biggest fight of his life, he left the next morning to fly back to Ghana. And for most of these people, their succeeding is family pride.
He didn't get nearly as much out of Las Vegas as he should have been.
Oh. He left a lot on the table, man.
You could also say he didn't lose as much as he could have in Vegas. But yeah, you have these great champions like Azuma Nelson and DK Poison, and the fighter you're talking about, Ali, was Richard Comey, who he gets his first shot at a big, big title fight, you know, a big fight in Vegas, and yeah, the next morning,
wow,
it's like, I want out, gone, home.
And he went straight back to Ghana. And this is a kid who's had real success in Europe and was living in London, but when he trains for a fight, he goes back to the village and he trains in the village.
No kidding.
That's how you do it. Talking about Vice World of Sports, Wednesday nights on Vice Channel, by the way, with Salima Masakela here. It's Vice Land Channel, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah,
right?
Vice Land.
Vice Land. Some of the upcoming episodes in season one, I'm fascinated to find out, do you, in the episode where you go to Kenya, do you finally answer one of the oldest questions in sports, which is, how do they run so fast?
I think we do. Yeah, that was amazing to go spend, you know, I was 10 days in Kenya in the Rift Valley. Basically the birth
I don't diet. Remember a major marathon that a Kenyan didn't win.
So the numbers are astounding. Kenyans over the last 25, 30 years have won 85-88% of all marathon, half marathons.
That's crazy.
In the world.
That's crazy.
Oh, I can't wait to see
these
that
people. The Kingali people represent a very, very small fraction of the Kenyan people. There's like 45 tribes in Kenya. So yeah, we were curious, like, what's the deal? And you hear people always want to aspire, like, well, you know, they have longer calf muscles and allows them to run much faster. That's not really a thing.
Some people suggest that maybe altitude in Kenya too.
It's a combination of, mm-hmm, of things. The altitude, the place is at 8,000 feet, but it has like a perfect climate at 8,000 feet that most places don't have in the world. So that's a start. They also, I mean, they're farmers. You know, they don't come from much. So the idea of, you know, you run a race and suddenly you run a local race, you can make enough money to like buy a farm. You're going to run.
Yeah. Right. Well, you've got some fantastic upcoming episodes. I'm so sad that we're almost out of time. You go to the town where hockey was born. You have an episode where you spotlight basketball on the Indian reservations.
Oh, Pine Ridge, South Dakota.
Which sounds amazing, too.
Lakota Sioux and the Lakota Sioux people and basketball. That episode's going to blow your mind.
You're telling stories that in all the years of sports and sports television that have not been told before, and that's so impressive.
You know, it's. I feel very lucky at this point in my career, especially, you know, where 15 years in television and doing entertainment and doing the X Games, you could easily be like, that's it. You had a great run, and you go off and do something else. And now to be doing something and making stuff of record at this point, I could not be luckier.
The upcoming episode on Wednesday night about soccer in Serbia, and I'm a huge soccer fan. I watch the Premier League and La Liga and Italy and every place, but and I occasionally see a headline out of Serbia. That story is straight crazy.
You're going to need a seatbelt for this episode.
And you don't have to like soccer at all.
No.
It's really not about soccer.
This
it's
is
crazy.
Some real life shiz that will just make you...
It's unbelievable.
You like that? They told me not to curse. So
yeah.
Shiz.
Well done.
That's two
well
Z's.
Done.
Two Z's.
Good catch.
But yeah, we have a great correspondent, Ben Ferguson, that we sent to Serbia, and
R.I.P. Ben.
It's gonna blow.
He didn't.
He didn't. I didn't get to the very end. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just assumed.
That is a crazy episode.
So,
really
before you go, real quick, Sunday, what are you doing?
Sunday, I've got the Red Bull Signature Series that airs on NBC, and we're airing the Volcom Pipeline Pro. And this year, you know, with the big. Crazy El Nino season was the best big wave surfing season probably in history. And so we had 5 days at Pipeline that was the best pipeline that's ever been surfed.
Wow.
112 guys. We really got to showcase it and shoot it in the most cinematic way. And Kelly Slater, who is, you know, the greatest surfer
greatest
of all
time.
He puts on a performance at Pipeline that is for the ages. So Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on NBC, my other show, the Red Bull Signature Series. You don't want to miss that. You guys always give me a hard time and like give me the Seacrest thing because, oh, well, you know, Seacrest is always working. And he's working so much. He's got so many things. So I was coming in. I was like, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not even making his taxes, but I'm working just as hard as him.
Well, you are living the dream, my friend. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you, guys. I look forward to coming back.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
It is 7:53.
We'll do the movie beat coming up just after 8 because it's Friday.
We're going to see Keanu, right? We're all going to see Keanu.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. And then our old friend Chris Hardwick stops by next hour as well. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Yeah, Ralph is in Vermont with his BFF, Mr. Smith.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, they're doing a show tonight at a place called Higher Ground. And I have friends that live there, and they said it sold out in about 8 minutes.
Wow.
So is there nothing in Vermont, or is he that popular?
I think it's probably a little of both. I think he's probably got fans there from the podcast,
impressive.
But also maybe not every show goes through Burlington.
He's going to love it there. He might
you
not
think
come
he won't
back.
Come
yeah.
back?
Yeah. He's just going to be sipping maple syrup.
I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Haven't been Jerry's. It's going to be a big time for him that he doesn't even know is going to hit him. Yesterday, remember when he talked about the new Will Ferrell movie? He's producing comedy about Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Yes.
And it involves a White House intern who's tasked with convincing Reagan, who's also played by Will, that he's lapsed into dementia during his second term, but he's actually an actor playing the president in a movie. So he's basically going to be tricked into believing he's the president in a movie, although it's his dementia.
Bitchin'.
Well, not so bitchin' for members of Reagan's family. Both Michael Reagan and Patty Davis have come out and are very upset, as is the Alzheimer's community. They're saying that it's just, if you don't know what Alzheimer's entails, this is an extremely poor taste.
I kind of wondered when I heard the story whether you can do Alzheimer's as a comedy or not.
It's touchy for me. I had both grandparents go through it. And when you see people robbed of every single memory, there's nothing funny about it. Nothing. Not one thing. And that's
But Will Ferrell. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but over here I say, but Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Can he make anything funny?
I don't know. According to Michael Reagan, he said, "What an outrage. Alzheimer's is not a joke. It kills, and you should be ashamed, all of you." And on Patty Reagan's website, she followed up with a letter that in part said, "Perhaps you have managed to retain some ignorance about Alzheimer's and other versions of dementia. Perhaps if you knew more, you wouldn't find the subject humorous."
We're all just people.
We are all just people. That is true. I don't know. It's a tough one.
I feel like there's also room, though, for people to separate entertainment from their real life. Like, if you went and saw that movie, it's clearly not about your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And no. So you would judge it kind of on its own, don't you think, or no?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I hear what you're saying, and I give art a big leeway.
Sure.
I do. But I can see how this would not be for some people, for sure.
Yeah.
Bitchin'.
Well, what about a documentary in the works about Whitney Houston? Is it butt stuff? I don't think so.
That's a good question, though.
It's reportedly authorized by her estate, which always is a good sign. If it's authorized by the person's estate that passed away, things are going to go more their way, as opposed to a documentary that may bring up some of the bad parts of her life.
Right. So in this one, she lived to a very ripe old age of 80 and died of natural causes?
I don't think so. I think it's still pretty true to form. But the Oscar-winning director, Kevin MacDonald, is set to direct it. And it's going to be never-before-seen footage of Whitney that charts her whole life from beginning singing in church to the day of her tragic death at 48, and 3 decades of her music, including exclusive demo recordings, rare performances, and an audio archive. So he wants to reveal more of the, obviously, the musical side, some stuff that we've never, ever seen, then focus on, you know, what
we all know.
What we all know.
Will this be part of the audio archive?
Crack is whack.
I hope so.
What about this?
Bitchin'.
That might be. Okay. That might be.
How about this?
Is it butt stuff?
I don't think so. I think that was said by a woman on the radio that regrets it every day.
How about this?
Why?
Okay.
Cat Williams is a mess, huh?
Right? Don't tell me he was arrested again.
He was indeed.
How does he get out of jail fast enough to be arrested the next time?
I do not know. But apparently this all went down in Atlanta at a seafood restaurant. Him and his friends walked in, and his party decided to seat themselves. And then Kat walked in and apparently had a fit, according to where they were sitting. Like, I am not into it. And went off on the hostess and threw a salt shaker at the manager and was arrested shortly after while making a run for it. He was arrested on battery charges, posted bond, and was set free at midnight.
Okay.
Yeah. Which then, of course, led to the whole, oh, I guess it was a salt and battery, because he chucked a salt shaker and, oh, you couldn't get away from it yesterday. Just, Kat, stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Greatest of all time.
I don't think that's what we're saying, but seriously.
Stop it.
This guy, he needs serious help.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. Yeah, it's not funny when you get arrested 5 times in a year or whatever it's been for him.
Yeah, it's not good.
You're making poor choices.
Indeed. How about some new releases? Today, Drake's Views from the Six, which now I think is just called Views, right?
I think you're right about that. World premiered last night. It's available for sale today. I have only heard the singles. I'm very excited about it. I love Drake.
Something I'm excited about. Empire. Original soundtrack season 2, you guys. Who's in?
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
All right. RJ Bell is in. Rob Zombie's new album, which has, wow, quite the catchy name. The Electric Warlock Acid Witch Satanic Orgy Celebration Dispenser.
Finally, that one gets made, right?
That old title. And something we've all been waiting for, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. They're bringing Nonagon Infinity. What? Did Dave just
I don't know if that's Mad Libs. Bean, do you know anything about this?
That's a band. I actually have their first record.
Sure.
But King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard?
Yes. They are kind of psychedelic. They're not for everybody.
Okay.
I have a clip if you want to.
I'd love to hear it. Absolutely.
Sample that, yeah.
That's Blink 182 from yesterday.
They came in yesterday.
My bad. Yeah.
Confused.
But really, summer anthem right there. Right? Who's with me? Can we hear it again?
Sure.
Naked.
So good.
All these people are celebrating their birthday today, April the 29th. Michelle Pfeiffer is 58. Rapper Master P is 49. Actor Daniel Day-Lewis, you're cracking yourself.
He's making himself laugh.
What's that?
Naked.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Naked.
Daniel Day-Lewis, 59. Jerry Seinfeld, 62. Willie Nelson is 83. And actress Uma Thurman. It's 46. I'm Allie McKay.
I like you so much better when you're naked.
Oh.
Wow.
Just go to commercial.
By the way, ahead of the movie beat here, Beer Mug tells me that listener Jeff called, Kevin Bean listener Jeff called, and he says that if somebody says ram it on our show today, he will get laid this weekend.
Ram it.
Ram it. Somebody's going to say ram it, apparently?
Just ram it?
So
just
what do we have
Jeff?
To say?
Just ram it, I think.
I think ram it is what he's asking for.
Does he get laid each time we say it?
I hope so.
It wasn't clear. Let's assume yes. Okay. Let's kill him by how many times we say ram it. But Beer Mug was down at the draft party yesterday for the Los Angeles Rams taking their number one pick. And I understand, Kevin, we have tape from that coming up next hour.
Do.
So this is Beer Mug with the Rams cheerleaders, which doesn't seem like either of them deserve that, right? him for the wrong reason. All right. It is Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat. Our friend Russ Leatherman is the movie man. You can always find his great work at 6secondreviews.com. And he, like he does, fills in for Ralph Garman when Ralph takes a day off. How are you, Russ?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
We are good. Well, we're good. And I know you're not going to get to Keanu to the end, but we're not going to hear anything until you get to Keanu, because I'm sorry, that's the movie we've been counting down all year long to wait for.
You know, there's some other good stuff in theaters, though. Other movies to definitely talk about. You know, the ladies might be looking forward to Mother's Day. And I don't want to, you know, I know Allie thinks I'm sexist and just evil. I don't mean that just ladies are going to go see Mother's Day. In fact, I want to talk to you about that in a second. But there's also Green Room in theaters, which you guys, I think you talked to Anton Yelchin.
We did.
About.
Yes. It sounds awesome as well.
Wait, why do I think you're sexist?
I don't know. Last time I was on the air, you would like it. It was our first time together, and something super bad happened. Mm.
You are so sensitive. Stop being
really
a little
am.
Bitch.
I am a very sensitive movie man. No doubt about it. All right, so let's bring some sensitivity to this new movie, Green Room. So you guys know what it's about, right? You have this punk rock band. They just play the crappiest clubs in the backest of woods. They witness this horrible crime, this murder in the nightclub. Now they're trapped in the green room and forced into a fight for survival against a group of skinheads.
Yeah, this looks great.
All right, let's hear a clip.
Sorry, guys. We've got to clear out. You follow me?
And then it's over.
I told you to follow me.
You can't keep us here. You gotta let us go.
We're not keeping you. You're just staying.
What are they doing?
They're coming.
You breathing? Let them bleed.
I can't die here.
So don't.
So good.
It's not a horror movie, but it has that kind of intensity, right, Russ?
It does. It is kind of a horror thriller, I would call it. And to me, it felt very much like the movie The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh so right. good.
Just a down and dirty, tension-filled killer thriller. And it was funny because when I was on my way to CNN this morning, I heard your interview with Anton Yelchin.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about making the movie and just how horrible that process was in that little room. And he mentioned blood continuity.
Yeah.
Right? Like they had to keep track of blood continuity.
Every day when he came in, they had to put blood on him.
I was thinking, if I was going to have a cerebral metal band, I would call it blood continuity.
Blood continuity.
That's pretty good.
How great would that be?
How's Patrick Stewart as a Nazi?
You know what? He's totally not typecast, and which is awesome for a moviegoer, because it's something that you don't expect at all. He's good in the movie. The movie is solid top to bottom if you're into that sort of thing.
I am. Fantastic. I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Up next is Mother's Day, the movie that you alluded from director Gary Marshall. Let's start with your 6-second review, and then we'll hear why you weighed in this way.
The Movie Man's 6-second review starts now.
Another dreadful comedy from director Gary Marshall. Mother's Day will make you wish you were born an orphan. I'm out.
Some movies good, some movies not so good. All you need to know in 6 seconds flat at 6secondreviews.com.
So you liked it?
Okay, first of all, I think there's a semantics problem with that 6-second review, because I don't think you can be born an orphan. I think I think you're born and then maybe orphaned is what happens. But you would be better off than seeing the movie Mother's Day.
Where did it go south?
Well, everywhere.
That wig.
Well, it's the wig. It's Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Jason Sudeikis, who we love. You have a fantastic cast, and this is what Gary Marshall does. Is he, you know, whether it's New Year's Eve or Valentine's Day or on and on, he does all the days and all the eves. But what I want to know, Allie.
Yes.
Maybe you and I can be friends again.
I felt like we always were.
Okay. All right. Please explain to me, because mm-hmm. these movies are terrible. This mm-hmm. movie is awful, just like mm-hmm. the other ones. There's a reason that in the ads, they say, from the director of Pretty Woman, right? Because he hasn't made a decent movie since 1990.
Right. Right.
Why do you go see them? What's with the ladies in continuing to want to see terrible movies?
I don't But I think it's just it's the cast. You want to see people that you like.
That sounds like a great cast.
So many of them. You see it. But
I think what it is you figure it can't be bad if Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Julia Roberts, and Jason Sudeikis all signed off on it. It must be okay. I think you get fooled into thinking it's good because of the cast.
April Fools, that's the next movie.
That's the next one, and it'll actually be good. And then plot twist.
I mean, how many times can you get fooled? But you must be right. I don't know. I find it shocking that time and time again, these movies make money, and they're always turds. Anyhow, moving on.
All right.
All right, let's talk about the movie you guys want to talk about.
Please.
Little something called Keanu.
Yay!
Keegan-Michael Kay, Jordan Peele, otherwise known as Key and Peele. Did you guys talk to these guys on the show?
We did.
Yeah, about an hour ago.
And are you fans of the show?
Huge fans.
Huge fans of the show.
Oh, no.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
I don't care what he says.
Russ can hate on it. Let him go. I'll go twice.
Stupid movie.
All right. Are we going to break up, Russ? What are you saying?
So you guys know the premise of the movie. I won't spend too much time. They're sort of dopey dudes. The kitten gets stolen. Now they have to turn gangsta to go get the kitten back. Method Man is in the movie. Here's the deal with this movie. It is sort of a nod to old action movies like 48 Hours, Bad Boys, those kinds of movies.
Right.
So it's super good in that kind of way.
Thanks for coming on, Russ.
No, I wanted to ask them about that. I wanted to ask them because it looks like the action scenes are really well done.
Yeah.
They are well done. And they're pretty intense. And it is kind of a throwback. So that's
all right. Thanks, Russ.
No.
Okay.
What? No. Huh? At times. Okay. It does feel like a 10-minute sketch that's been stretched to 90 minutes.
Boo.
I'm going to see it three times now.
But with that said, this is their first big screen adventure. Like their TV show, and you have to admit, a lot of it is hit, some of it miss.
All hit.
All hit all the
hit.
Time.
All
hit. That's what this movie is.
We've convinced him, at least for this second.
This movie is fantastic.
There you go. That's the answer we were looking for. You can find all the Movie Man's reviews at 6secondreviews.com and on Twitter at 6secondreviews as well. Russ, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
You too, guys. Bye. Thanks.
Always a lot of fun to have our next guest back in the studios here at Kevin and Bean. Actor, writer, musician, podcaster, former K-Rock DJ, and stand-up comedian. Yeah, you heard me. Chris Hardwick is here.
You wouldn't know this from looking at me. My mother, I'm half Italian. My mother is Italian and Native American. My mother is Italian and Cherokee Indian. And I look like a Tumblr page of ranch dressing recipes. I look like this. And it's because of my dad's genes. My dad's genes are just Tennessee redneck hobo billy as far back as you can see. And so my redneck genes are doing what they do best, which is to suppress all the minorities in my body.
That's what happens. The whitest man in the world.
Absolutely.
He is on Comedy Central with his new special called Fun Comfortable tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Hey, Chris Hardwick.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? It's good to meet you officially.
Good to meet you.
You had jury duty the last time I was here.
And they didn't pick me in SPF.
Jury duty the last time
I brought
you were
back
here.
The certificate
right.
that I made.
Chris, I know we got a lot of ground to cover. It's always great to catch up with you because I know how busy you are.
Oh, please.
But were you ever, even for a while, the host of Loveline?
I would co-host when Carolla would go out of town.
You were that guy. Okay.
I was that guy, yeah, because Adam was pretty cemented in the late 1900s, which is a thing we can say. Adam was pretty cemented in, and he did such a great job, but whenever he would leave, I would guest co-host. And,
yeah, I thought that was true because last night, of course, was the final episode, and I can't wait to hear the podcast this weekend because Andy Dick showed up and Kathy Griffin showed up, and a lot of people called in, and you were one of them, right?
I did call in, and it was – I felt kind of emotional about it. I mean, especially if you know, I went to high school in L.A. I've been here since 88. Loveline is an institution. Like, it is a thing that you just think, well, that's always going to be there. So it's it felt kind of weird, but
for kids that grew up here, you literally went to bed with headphones on with your Walkman because you didn't want your parents to walk in and hear something about, you know, warts on a penis.
Right.
Oh my God. But they changed everything. Things
Absolutely.
That no one was talking about that you were too afraid to ask your mom.
Oh, yeah. You should probably go see a doctor about that. Yeah.
Well, that was very cool that you were part of that final episode last night. We are certainly going to miss that show. Fun Comfortable. Is this your first hour-long comedy special on television?
No, I did one in 2012.
Okay.
Which we loved, Bean.
I can't believe you're back with another one, Chris.
Yeah,
what kind of question is that? Have you learned nothing? Yeah. That question is right up there with how are your parents?
And,
oh, they're dead.
And are you pregnant?
No!
It's fine. It's fine. It was 4 years ago. It just took me a while to get the newest one because of my schedule. You know, I still do about 50 stand-up dates a year on the road.
I was going to ask how often you get out there.
Yeah, I do about 50 a year on the road. So if I just did stand-up, I'd do 200 on the road, and I do a new special every 2 years. But, this one just came out.
With everything that you have going on with the, you know, obviously the podcast takes a lot of your time and all the TV shows and everything else, why do you still do stand-up?
Because it's my favorite thing, and it's the thing I always wanted ever since, you know, my parents noticed in the 1970s that I was obsessed with Steve Martin and started buying me Steve Martin records, which was a gateway drug to, you know, Carlin and Richard Pryor and then Kinison and Emo Phillips and Seinfeld and, you know, everything, and that 80s comedy boom where I was, that was my main thing, in addition to all the, you know, the sci-fi and the computer technology and the toys and everything, but stand-up was always everything to me, and everything I've ever done has been to try to drive people out to live shows.
Interesting, because you are a, let's be honest.
People don't think of me as a stand-up.
You're a celebrity now, you're a TV host now, and I wondered if it takes a while when you get up on in front of the microphone for people to realize, oh yeah, this guy's legit.
Yeah. Well, now people actually come out to see me on purpose, which is a crazy thing. But when I used to, you know, but when I had performed before, people go, I didn't realize you did stand up, you know. And so, and to me, if you asked me what I did, I would go, I'm a comic, you know. I host shows and I do podcasts and I run a thing. But really, I'm a comedian.
I like that you just throw away run a thing. Like that's a little thing.
Yeah, some call it an empire.
I don't know how to explain it. Bore people. It's a digital content company where we cover pop culture.
Is stand-up difficult for you, Chris?
No. I mean, it's only thing that's difficult is just forcing myself to find time to write. I started, for me, I don't write unless I have a show or a deadline. So maybe once or twice a month, I do a show at our space at Meltdown Comics, which is where you have to do brand new material. So you three comics each get 20 minutes, and you have – and me and two other people –
can't repeat anything.
Can't repeat anything, or they have to be new tags if you do like an older bit. The show's free because I don't want people to pay to see workshop material, but it's so much fun, and this little community is developed around it. We're doing another one Monday at Meltdown at 9 p.m. So yeah, that's how I write new material. And then I just start like – peppering it in, but I start a new tour in June, so you know you can't do the material once it airs.
We were talking off the air about Fun Comfortable,
yeah,
and the craftsmanship, the way you craft stories. I wasn't prepared.
Oh,
Chris Hardwick, you're really, really good.
Thank you. You know, I appreciate it. The special idea came. You know, Mike Birbiglia. You guys know Mike Birbiglia,
sure, of course. Yeah.
So Birbiglia was on a podcast a couple years ago, and we were talking about comedy. He goes, "Yeah, I go to this place," and he's a legendary workhorse writer. He writes like 8 to 5, like it's a job, like you should. Seinfeld theory. And so he said, you know, I go to this place where I'm really uncomfortable and that's where I write. And I realized that my material from the previous special was sort of about me, but not really personal. So I just started writing every uncomfortable thing about my life that I could think of. There are a lot of them. And that's not even all of them. And then, you know, I was writing stuff about my dad, which he loved. And then my dad died. And then that became this whole other thing. It's like, well, how do you – that is the most uncomfortable thing as well. So how can you through humor process the most significant death in your life? And is there something human about that? So I started playing with it and it – you know. And
wait till you hear the applause that Chris ends up getting out of having a dead dad.
Yeah, yeah, dead dad.
Remarkable.
Dead dad club. I thought, oh, no. Yeah. And then so turned good. It everybody
you,
around.
Well, you know, Paul Rudd was on the podcast and we bonded over it. We kind of discovered this thing and how we kind of had this really sick sense of humor about it. And it's not disrespectful. It's just like it hurts so much that it's the armor. So you kind of make jokes about it to deal with it and process it. And it kind of honors the person. And I ran into Paul at the Civil War premiere. And honestly, the first thing I said to him, I go, hey, my dad's still dead. How about yours? He goes, yeah, still dead. You know, so it's like you can't help. You can't. If you're in that club, you kind of understand.
So there's dead dads and there's a lot of butt stuff.
There's some butt stuff.
A lot of butt stuff.
There's some butt stuff.
We're
going
to have to hold off on the butt stuff for a second.
I got so bummed out watching your show that I am not in the Dead Dad Club, and I don't know what that says about me. But I really felt kind of left out. I like when I call my dad, I go, seriously, you're 80. Get on with it.
Come on, man. I need to see the humor.
Fun, comfortable premieres tomorrow night on Comedy Central at 10. Chris Hardwick's latest stand-up special filmed at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. It's so funny, you guys. More with Chris in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Chris Hardwick in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the host of At Midnight on Comedy Central, and of course, Talking Dead and sometimes Talking Bad. And Chris, I thought of you last week or the week before when Orphan Black came back.
Oh, yes.
And they have an After the Black show because yep. All TV shows now need to have a show where a guy in skinny jeans talks about it for an hour. And the guy that they hired, I swear to God, they cloned you. Did you see it?
Someone tweeted at me that clone, funny clone, Orphan Black. And then they tagged him and they said that. And the guy was like, no, I'm me. And I'm like, no, I'm sure he's me. You know, just being the person that's used to getting dumped on the internet, like I get very protective. And there's also a Thrones one. There's a Game of Thrones one. And my favorite part about it is that one of the co-hosts, he's a very nice guy. His name's Andy Greenwald. He's hosting the after show for Game of Thrones on HBO Go. He wrote a super arrogant hipster article like 4 years ago on Grantland and said Talking Dead was the death knell of television.
Yes!
And that after shows, why would anyone want an after show?
So and
it
he's
was
the host.
So. Now I'm a petty person because it was so satisfying. It's like, you crapped on my show and now you're ripping it off. And like, that felt really good. But we talked and he's a very nice guy. I just have to give him a little bit of crap for that.
This Orphan Black guy, though, it was like they broke into your house.
Yeah, I don't love it.
It's like they broke into your house and stole your clothes and your hair gel and told him to talk faster than you do. I mean, it was really, like, obvious that that's what they were going for.
You know, my motto growing up was John Machida, the Micro Machines guy. So, like, I would always – remember those Micro Machines come in? He was the FedEx guy?
Yes.
I would try to copy those when I was a kid. And so he kind of talked – he taught me how to speak clearly really, really fast.
What's he doing now, Chris?
I don't know. Maybe he's not talking as fast.
Maybe he's not talking at all.
Micro Machines for the film toys.
He's Bill Cosby?
Oh, God, I guess I didn't mean to.
Now, Fun Comfortable airs tomorrow night, but you are sort of hosting the whole weekend on Comedy Central. What is the Fun Comfortable weekend?
Well, Comedy Central came to me and they said, hey, do you want to program the whole weekend? And I said, absolutely.
I'm not doing anything else, sure.
I got nothing but time.
So it was really fun. I got to program. So, like, they gave me all the shows that I can, movies and stuff. And so, like, you know, one day there's kind of an SNL through line. So it's like, Vacation and Coming to America. It's like people who are on SNL. And then there's a sci-fi. Saturday's a sci-fi day. So it's like, World's End, Ghostbusters. And then Zombieland, because Ghostbusters is kind of an unofficial prequel to Zombieland because of the Bill Murray connection in my mind. So there's like, so we did that, and then I did a Futurama marathon tomorrow morning, and then, and then it goes into my special, which is at 10. So
nice.
It was really fun. It was really fun to get to program.
Do you act much, Chris?
No one ever asked me to, and I don't know if I blame them, but yeah, no one, I think people barely think of me as a comedian, so they really don't think of me as an actor.
You were a zombie, though. Weren't you a zombie on Walking Dead or no?
No, but I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to do it
you
this
are.
Year. Yeah, I talked to Nicotero. Who's gonna...
I feel like a guy like you with your connections and your credibility, particularly in geek world, should be like popping up on Doctor Who and you should be in the Star Trek movie.
I agree.
Be doing all this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. But no, I have bugged, every once in a while I'll bug someone about it and I'll be like, hey, can I be in the new Guardians movie? Because I'm friends with all these directors and people and they're super nice, but then it just never happens. So I don't want to push. I don't want to push, but if you're making a superhero or a sci-fi movie or something, I'll just eat a churro in the background. I don't even care. I don't need to be the guy. I'll just be the guy that's like, Wolverine, and then I get stabbed.
I hope you get to be one of those super gross walkers, though, that was like in the water in that one scene.
Oh, yeah, the well walker.
Oh,
yeah,
so
yeah,
gross.
Yeah, yeah. Just like someone who died in a porta potty.
Yes.
And it just tipped over, just like some weird turd walker. I would totally be that guy.
Turd walker.
By just,
the
like,
way.
Just bits of corn all over. Too visceral?
Whoa.
Too visceral.
What?
I think so.
Okay,
whoa.
I take it back. He was eating a corn on the cob when he died, all right? He came from a barbecue.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much better, but better.
I want to get back. I got another question about the Fun Comfortable special, but since you're here, have you seen Outlander already? Or Outland? What's the new Kirkman show?
No, I have not. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, we're excited. I think we have them next week, so I'm dying to see it.
Oh, good, yeah.
All right, let's talk about this, because a lot of times when a guy is doing comedy on stage, you wonder how much of it is made up. But it sounds like you're saying you really did draw these stories for this Fun Comfortable special from your real life.
Yes.
The blow-up doll.
Yes.
is really what happened, Chris?
Yeah, it's a true story.
How old are you at this time? 16, you said?
It was last year.
16. I was 42. It was 16. Yeah, 16, 17. Yeah.
How did you have a blow-up doll?
It was...
Bean's jealous. Can you hear it in his voice?
A little bit.
I need to get one. Yeah.
No pun intended. It was a gag gift. and it was given to me by my friends who, you know, it was like a... I don't know. Just like when you're a teenager, I feel like you do a lot of things. You do a lot of things as a joke, but that you really want to do, but you kind of have the safety net. So I was like, I would be crazy if someone had sex with this blow-up doll. But what you really want everyone to do is go, ha, 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 let's do it. Like you want everyone to stop laughing. And so I ended up with it. And, you know, I just, for science, you know, for science.
For
it
science.
It was an experiment. Okay. It was a biological experiment.
I see.
My need to be inside something far outweighed my aversion risk. And so, so it happened. And it was, you know, it was odd. It wasn't that great, but it was interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't that great?
Well, it's just like,
she
it
was
like
not be satisfied.
Awesome. Which started a long chain of, it was just like, imagine just taking two balloons and just rubbing them on your area is kind of what it was like.
That doesn't seem good.
Hair starts standing up on it.
I was just so surprised that you told that story and now that you're telling me it's true. But here's a little piece again from Chris Hardwick's special, which is very funny, called Fun Comfortable, where he talks about, you know, the aftermath of an event like that.
So I reasoned that if I was caught in the middle of the night doing this disgusting thing, that I was not going to try to talk my way out of it. And you shouldn't either. If you're ever caught doing something gross in the middle of the night by a significant other or a roommate or a parent or whatever, you do not try to talk your way out of it. Listen to me. You commit to your activity, and then you say a weird non sequitur to trick them into thinking they're dreaming. Right? If my dad had come in, I would have been like, and those reports better be on my desk by 9 a.m. He'd be like, oh, right, 9 a.m. Okay.
So you're in the Dead Dad Club, so he hasn't seen this special. But what does Mom think about these stories that you
tell? I was very nervous about it. I was very nervous about it because, you know, we didn't actually have the talk of... I warned her before she saw the latest iteration of the show. I'm like, are you sure you want to? There's a lot of things in here. And my mom, by the way, is like the coolest lady ever. I adore her. She's one of my closest friends, actually. But she's my mom, so I was nervous. And she took it all very well. But I did Kimmel last night, and she texted me right before. And she said, you should publicly apologize to me for some of the jokes they'll hear on Saturday about me, LOL, red face emoji. But there isn't really much about her.
You're going to wait until she dies before unload on her, right?
Yeah, exactly. My dad had the decency to give me 10 new minutes. I'm kidding.
While we're talking about did stuff really happen, the Japanese animal pajamas?
Totally true. Yeah, totally true. It's all the stories are true. All the stories are true. I mean, it's kind of funny that they are, and it's weird how the human mind works, is that they are stories that I never really told anyone one-on-one, maybe a therapist at some point. But you know, saying them out loud to thousands of people somehow made it okay, because
everyone
does messed up stuff. So I think there's something... You know, the more open you are about yourself, the more human that is, and the more people have their own kind of stuff that they relate to that they probably wouldn't say out loud. Just like Loveline, it kind of makes people feel like, oh, okay, maybe I'm not so broken.
Right.
You know? Not the only person.
No, you're pretty broken, though.
Right. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Yeah. Just need to let you know.
About being a little bitch like that last guy. Allie.
Oh, Allie's reading the SmackDown today.
I don't know what's going on today, but I'm feeling it.
That was pretty sweet.
That was amazing. Look at the Wolverine. You can almost hear the Wolverine claws go, shink.
When are you getting married, Chris?
I'm getting married in August.
Terrified yet?
No, I'm not at all.
Really?
I'm excited about
you
it.
You should be.
Are you helping plan? Are you the...
No, Lydia said to me a while ago, nice. Like, hey, I don't want you to have to worry about the planning. And I'm like, and I want to help you realize that dream.
Does she come to you and go, do you care about this color or that color? Because that'll happen, and you have to care.
Well, she hired a wedding planner, so that's been really great. But, you know, it was her idea to make the Save the Dates look like Walking Dead. She wanted to have the servers be made up like zombies. So Nicotero offered to do that for us for a wedding gift.
All right.
So
you're like, what do you know about it?
Yeah, exactly. I got this one, Greg. and then the cake is going to be half a TARDIS. And I had this idea that I don't know if anyone's going to get, but I wanted, and she's way into this, but there's not really a ring bearer.
Right.
Although James Corden offered to dress up like a ring girl and put on pigtails.
How is that not an instant yes?
I said yes. I just don't know if he's actually going to follow through. Oh, okay. But if he does. But this other, the backup idea is that I assume you all are Star Wars fans, the original Star Wars. So I wanted to have an R5-D4 unit, which is the droid that almost went with Luke and Owen. And it's the one that kind of crapped out halfway. And he's like, oh, he's got a bad motivator. And then they get up with R2-D2. So I wanted to have like an R5-D4 come out with a ring and then stall a third of the way down the aisle. And then have an R2 unit bring the ring the rest of the way. So I'd have to orchestrate it. But
that sounds like a great idea. That won't work.
That's what I keep
something.
There's a lot of room for error
there
in there.
There is, but that's the point. That's if it doesn't work, then the bit works.
Comedy. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know how that one's going to fly. But, Corden, if you're out there and you still want to put on a dress and bring us our ring, we're happy to have you.
I feel like your wedding needs to be another special on Comedy Central. It sounds like it's going to be fantastic.
I don't know. I hope so. I actually, and I knew that this wouldn't work, but I thought, oh, I got to do it. But I met the Tears for Fears guys at Bonnaroo last year, and they were awesome. And their show was mind-blowing.
Unreal.
They're incredible.
They did Acoustic Christmas two Decembers ago, and they were phenomenal.
They're the best. Phenomenal. So I sent a direct message to Kurt Smith, and I said, hey, look, I know you're not a wedding band. I know this is beneath you. What would I have to pay you just to come and play, like, six songs at the wedding?
Totally.
But I never heard back from him. Oh. And I don't blame him. I get it.
We still can't say that on the radio, by the way, Chris.
Oh, you can't?
So you know. No.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that?
Nope. No, we got a delay. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
All right. We have already twice with you.
Man spackle.
Ghost babies.
At midnight airs weeknight. Guess what? At midnight on Comedy Central. And don't miss Chris on Talking Dead after The Walking Dead Sunday nights at 10. The fun, comfortable special is so funny, you guys. If you're one of the people that Chris was talking about when he sat down who are surprised to find out that he really is a stand-up guy and has been for a long time, then you need to watch this show because you'll look at Chris a completely different way. You'll be embarrassed for Chris when you hear some of these stories that he tells.
Can I just say something really fast too?
Of course, yes.
Because the special premieres on Comedy Central, and then Tuesday it comes out on iTunes on the extended version is an hour and 15 minutes, and there's extras and stuff.
That's too much comedy.
But I went to Comedy Central and I said, I really want to put the special out also as a podcast for free unless people can't afford it or whatever. And the compromise that we made is on Tuesday for a week, you can get the audio of the TV version, which is 50-ish minutes, for free at Nerdist.com on Tuesday. So for a week, you'll get the TV cut as an audio podcast. If you like it, go buy the extended version. And if not, then you wasted no money. And,
you'll like it.
If you listen to this show, you'll like it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go pre-order this.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That is how you wake up. With that music right there.
Right?
Muse on the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Ralph is off today doing his Hollywood Babylon podcast in Vermont, of all places, tonight. But he'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, filling in with the Showbiz Bean. Here's Alex.
Yesterday, Ralph brought us the news that they are bringing back the Match Game, which he was super excited about because he was on the Match Game back in, like, 64. I don't know when it was, but we need video of that. And he has it. He promised yesterday he would bring it in. But we found out that Alec Baldwin will be the host of the Match Game.
Which was shocking.
Yeah. I didn't know he even wanted to do anything like that.
He just seems like a more serious person than that.
Yeah.
Seems like a wacky person would host a game show, but...
I'm into it, though. Yeah. I'm in. Absolutely. But now we're finding out it's going to be part of a Sunday night game show block. It's going to have Celebrity Family Feud, which is hosted by Steve Harvey, and the $100,000 Pyramid, hosted by Michael Strahan. So all game shows all night on Sundays.
I am surprised by that. I mean, game shows are inexpensive to make. I get why they are attractive for TV viewers, but I just feel like there's so much competition.
Especially
so many great TV shows right now, particularly on Sundays.
Yeah.
Who's left to watch a game show?
Old people that aren't watching The Walking Dead and Ray Donovan. Maybe.
True. I mean, obviously they know more about their business than I do. I'm just surprised that a game show would survive in 2016, but good luck to you.
Well, we all know Michael Strahan is leaving his show with Kelly Ripa. And there's been talk about who is going to be his replacement. They've talked about Kelly Ripa's husband, Mark Consuelo. There's been talk of Anderson Cooper. There's been talk about Andy, the head of Bravo, which I don't know about any of these people, if they have the time, if they can get out of their contracts, that type of thing. But now The Hollywood Reporter is claiming that someone is being eyeballed.
Charlie Manson.
No, not Charlie. Becky with the good hair? Not Becky. No, but she does have great hair.
We're out.
You're out? Ryan?
Von Miller!
We're not out.
We're not out?
Now we're out.
Okay. Ryan Seacrest.
What? Oh, sure. Why the hell not?
Okay.
I mean...
I didn't watch it before. I won't watch it now.
I don't know what he brings to that show.
Yeah. I think he's super smooth and super vanilla-y.
Yeah, I think he's not going to ruffle any feathers
type of
thing.
Right, so he'll just let her be the star.
And now without American Idol, he's down one job.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So maybe he's back at it.
All right.
All right.
I don't know.
I mean, all right.
Here's a movie that I'm interested in. Zoe Kravitz is reportedly in talks to join Scarlett Johansson in the upcoming comedy Rock That Body. It's about five friends who rent a beach house in Miami for a bachelorette weekend and accidentally end up killing a male stripper.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Like you do. If I had a dollar for every bachelorette party where someone dies.
Right.
It is a fantastic premise, and I am in. And in case you missed it, in the 5 o'clock hour, I was talking about the services that we use that sometimes give you entertainment news that you think, oh, that's not real.
Not really a
we
story.
We should check in on that.
Right.
This was my favorite one that I read at 5. John Stamos is one of the hottest guys in Hollywood and just as smoking in between the sheets. People magazine reports the grandfathered star has a signature move in the sack called the Stamos Straddler, but he truly excels at cuddling.
That's
the weirdest thing ever.
But to report as news.
To report as news.
That's all of People magazine, though, isn't it?
I don't think I've read People magazine
right,
in years.
Because
but
they have those non-stories. This is not a story.
I just want to know what kind of research went in and if they need more.
Oh, you're offering.
That's all I'm saying.
You really do a follow-up piece on it?
I am.
All right, that's nice.
I want to know all about the Stamos Straddler.
Sure.
And how much he cuddles. Is he the little spoon or the big spoon?
Yep.
All right. All of these stars were born today, April the 29th. Singer Willie Nelson is 83. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld is 62. Jonah Ray tweeted yesterday that he was having coffee, and in walked Jerry Seinfeld and Judd Apatow to shoot Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
No kidding. That's weird.
How awesome is that?
That's awesome as well.
I love that show so much. Actor Daniel Day-Lewis is 59. Michelle Pfeiffer is 58. Rapper Master P is 49. And actress Uma Thurman is 46. I'm Allie McKay. In for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
While many of us were in front of our TVs watching the NFL draft day one from Chicago, Beer Mug was in person at LA Live along with a bunch of LA Rams players and cheerleaders. This was a big deal. This was the official draft day party you were at, right, Muggs?
Humongous turnout. Andrew Siciliano is there as the host, and tons of Rams fans in LA. Actually, also like some Raiders fans and some Niners fans, which was odd to see. But yeah.
Raiders fans get confused a lot, so they weren't sure what they were doing.
I feel like everybody that has a team is excited if they're going to come through Los Angeles so they can see the team.
Yeah, so
yeah, of course.
It was a huge turnout.
Are you a Rams fan, Muggs?
I'm going to be, yes, because we have not had a team, and I will be a Rams fan.
I plan to be one.
That's my plan one day.
I didn't have a team earlier.
All right.
When there was no team in LA.
How about Mama Muggs?
No. You know what? She doesn't follow She watches college.
It's probably good.
Okay. Now, what was your... I know we have some tape that you recorded on the scene, but what was your job down there? Was the plan that you were going to try to interview, what, executives from the team, football players, cheerleaders, what?
Well, the way they had us set up, they had us wrangled in a media pit, which was on the side of the party, and I couldn't leave that media pit, so all I had access to were the fans down at LA Live. So.
I got to be honest, they made the right decision. If I saw you coming to a party that I was having, I would put you in over on the side and not let you out.
And I just found out Tom Morello was there. I had no idea.
Oh,
he was walking around among the fans, but yeah, of course I didn't interview him.
All right, so the first person that Beer Mug does talk to is a Rams fan, and... Tell me what is refreshing and nice about this, Bean.
This is for the Los Angeles Rams coming back home. These are for the true LA Ram fans who've been waiting 22 years for our team to come back, and we are so excited, and we're just grateful that our team's back, man. We can't wait. Got the number one pick, got the rookie of the year, got a tight defense. We're ready to go, man. Yeah.
I know this one. Beer Mug is notorious for never properly miking the interviewee. And in this case,
A,
we could hear the guy talk.
That's A. B, there's no Beer Mug on it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Which makes it stand out
refreshing.
Quite well.
You're right.
It's very refreshing. All right, so Muggs found out from Allie, I think, before he left.
Mm-hmm.
about the name of the cheerleader squad, correct?
Yes. 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 I informed you. You thought I was lying. Yes. No, it is indeed the Embraceable Ewes.
EWE.
Yep. Because, yeah. See, that's a sheep reference.
Right, yes. Right.
So Muggs goes down there with this information, and he runs into a gigantic nerd, I'm guessing. I haven't seen the video of this yet, but he starts talking about the name of it, and all of a sudden we get lost in a Three's Company conversation. I don't know how this happened at all.
Let me ask you guys, did you guys know the name of the Rams cheerleaders squad?
That's a big negative.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that... one of the gals from Three's Company played one of the Rams girls on an episode of Chips, like circa 1987. Their van broke down on the side of the freeway. They had hot outfits back then. It was the third one, not the nurse and not Suzanne Summers, but the
one that filled in for Suzanne Summers after she left.
Yeah, it might have been that chick.
Well, the name is, and I found this out today, so don't feel bad. The Embraceable Ewes.
No. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, he's denying that.
Nope.
He said, nope. Not for him, that's not the case. What happened there? What? He was talking about a Chips episode
in
1972.
He went on a very random tangent of information.
Yes, Pete. Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on. Maybe I did misunderstand. So he wasn't suggesting, you were talking about the cheerleaders. He wasn't suggesting that one of the cheerleaders used to be on Chips, was he? Is that what he was saying?
He was saying in 1972, one of the girls on Three's Company was on an episode of Chips playing a Rams cheerleader.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
That's what was going
that
on.
That makes sense.
I feel like maybe he meant the woman that replaced Suzanne Summers. Was that Terry?
Here's the thing. I don't know, and I don't care. Because really, it doesn't matter.
No.
Okay, now, the brain trust that is Muggs found another brain trust, a couple of guys like him, and they're arguing and trying to remember for the life of them what the colors of the L.A. Rams were when they were here.
We got to ditch the gold uniforms.
Yeah, that's right. So they're handing out these hats, which look pretty dope, but it looks like they're gold and the navy blue. And a lot of speculation when the Rams announced that they're coming back to L.A., you know, are they going to be the yellow and blue or the white and blue?
Yellow and blue.
That's how it was when they were in L.A.
Yeah.
And then originally
Anaheim,
that's right. Originally in L.A. they were white and blue, right?
No, I think that's when they were somewhere else, right? Like,
no, I think in Los Angeles they were white and blue. I thought they were white and blue.
Oh,
this
God.
Sounds great. This sounds like a conversation that should be going on in a dormitory after much weed has been smoked.
Yes, correct. So that was one interview. Now Muggs goes right back for the cheerleading squad.
Do you know the name of the Rams cheerleading squad?
Actually, I sure don't. What is the name?
I don't know.
Okay, so that's what I thought today. I found out from Ally McKay and Ralph Garman that they are the Embraceable Ewes.
Nice.
Oh, nice. I'm going to go embrace one of them ewes right now.
Embrace a few wins this year.
Did you hear the last guy? The last guy was trying to play along. Your first guy was making a joke about the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
The last guy's like, let's embrace some wins this year.
Yeah. I love
that. Now, Muggs, you got that U-E-W-E is a sheep joke because they're Rams, right?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Hold on for that, Bean.
Okay. All right. Does that come up later?
Wait
I'm sorry.
A minute. He couldn't even get a yes.
Hold
sure.
on. The next clip might answer your question.
Okay, because I noticed that he's not pointing that out to any of the people why that's a clever name. So, all right, I'm dying to hear this now.
You guys know the Rams cheerleaders right behind you guys. You guys know their official name? I just found this out today. I didn't know.
No.
It is the Embraceable Ewes.
Are you serious? Are you
kidding? I'm serious. A ewe is a baby sheep.
Female sheep.
Female sheep. Female. It's just a female sheep. It's not a baby. See, I'm still wrong.
Yeah, baby sheep are called lambs.
Lambs, yeah.
Oh, he corrects him on that.
Yeah,
okay.
A lamb
is a baby
yes,
sheep.
Yes, that's right.
A ewe is a female sheep.
Gotcha.
And they're very embraceable, so yeah.
Got schooled right there.
Actually, like that name's a hit.
I actually had the opportunity to take a picture with the entire Embraceable Ewe squad.
Yeah, I saw that. They were miserable.
They were happy. What are you talking about?
And finally, perhaps the worst story in the history of human civilization.
I guess it was 3 years ago. I kind of had a hunch that the Rams were going to come back, and that was 3 years ago. And I'm kicking myself in the ass.
Okay, so first of all, I'd just like to stop and say, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. Muggs had a hunch mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that one of the teams mm-hmm. that used to be in Los Angeles was going to come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
He had a strong hunch about that.
Wow.
How was he able to figure that out?
Because they all talked about it for years?
That's right. Every year they bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a hunch. No. You heard that everywhere because there's been talk every year about the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Rams.
And because I'm a soothsayer.
A what?
A soothsayer.
Right.
I guess it was 3 years ago. I kind of had a hunch that the Rams were going to come back, and that was 3 years ago. And I'm kicking myself in the ass to this day that I didn't go to Vegas and make some kind of prop bet, like, because I'm sure they would have taken it. I don't know what the odds would have been on the payout would have been, but I would have made money, and I always do that with bets. I always think of a great bet, and I never follow through.
That's the worst story I've ever heard. What Muggs is doing there is he's telling you a story about gambling that he wishes he did, yeah, but didn't. That's what that story was.
Like in 2014, when the Kings were down 0-3 to the Sharks in round one.
We don't need to hear another story of a bet that you wished you made.
They were down 3-0.
All right.
And it was
that's good work, Muggs.
I don't want to interrupt, but last night I was going to get a pizza, but then I decided not to at the last second, so I didn't.
No. And Bean does that a lot, and he's very disappointed. That's a great story.
All right. Allie is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
We talked at the start of the show about how the NFL draft yesterday was actually something interesting to watch because there was a lot of drama happening.
Yeah, I'm not a big draft watcher, but this sounds awesome.
It was incredible. If you don't know what happened, there's a player from, is it Ole Miss?
That's right. That's right, in Oxford.
Who 13 minutes before the draft, someone released a video on his Twitter of him with a gas mask on that had a bong attached to it, and he was just getting all of that goodness right to the face.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
And by the way,
I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like, mother f***, Tupac.
I don't know the specifics of this video. As you pointed out, Allie, it's really him when he takes the gas mask off, so it's not like somebody faking. But he's also leaning up against the wall with a big old Confederate flag.
Yeah, notice that, too. There was a lot just really off about
the timing
whole
of it
video.
Again was
13 minutes before the draft started.
Okay.
But he's had some issues with his stepfather. He actually was protecting his mother during an altercation with the stepdad. And now the stepdad is suing him. There's a bunch of just madness going on. Then during the draft, he just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And at one point,
it was real-time change.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They thought he would maybe go first in the draft a couple months ago. People were predicting that. And then after the draft, after he was actually picked, I believe it was 13th, I looked on his Instagram account, and someone was posting text messages between him and coaches at his college asking for rent, asking for money for his mom for electric bills, all of that. So somebody obviously is after him. Is
what?
Yeah, he was hacked, and they were after him to ruin the biggest night of his life.
What loser NFL team ended up with him?
Oh,
the Miami Dolphins.
That's right, Chip. That's right. Well, I'm just saying right now, Chip, your team did something good. I mean, he's great
for now, bet. It's going to go south some way.
Absolutely.
Like it does with the Dolphins.
But I was watching the draft, and my thought was, I wonder what Johnny Manziel is doing right now. Because remember when we were watching the draft and they kept panning to him and it was like, oh, sad dude.
Yep.
He just kept lower and lower and lower. You didn't know where he was going to go. Well, TMZ found out where he was. You're going to find this shocking.
Johnny Manziel?
Yeah. He was in an Ohio bar buying 300 shots of Fireball for the people in there. Hanging out in the DJ booth and basically just experiencing what most guys do on the draft day. Just drinking, having fun.
Yeah.
Also, he's unemployed. He has no team.
How many years ago was it he was drafted? Two?
Was it two?
Two or three, maybe?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a crash course in just going right out of the NFL.
Yeah, 2 years ago, selected
two
in the first
years.
Round.
I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And he was a very hot prospect that many expected would have a very long and successful career in the NFL. And here he is a couple of years later without a job, just sitting there, just drinking the pain away during the draft.
Yeah. On the opposite end of that spectrum, Steven Spielberg. I'm going to get to him in a second, but Comcast and NBC Universal, they bought DreamWorks Animation yesterday for $3.8 billion in cash. And DreamWorks stock, which was at 24 and change a week ago, is now valued at $41 a share. But Steven Spielberg, he has a 5% stake in DreamWorks, which means he will get 100 $187 million in cash just because of this deal.
Okay.
That's a
pretty good day's work.
That's really a really awesome day. It's really good.
Yeah, how was your day?
Well, you know, I'm $187 million richer than I was yesterday.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh. Yeah, that's phenomenal. Oh,
I was sleeping when all that happened.
Right. I wonder who calls him. Like, does his money guy call him and like, hey, dude, just want to let you know.
I don't know.
Want to buy that car.
I don't know.
I assume he has the money to buy whatever car he wants.
If you're as rich as Spielberg, they may not even make a – I mean, it may just show up on a statement next month. It may not even be the type of thing that warrants a phone call, you know?
Wow.
It really can't possibly make any difference in his life, as insane as that sounds. When you have that kind of money, another $100 million isn't that big a deal, I would think.
The words you're saying are insane to me.
I know.
Yes, they are.
Unbelievable. Speaking of insane, the Monkees. The Monkees announced recently that they'll return May 27th with an album called Good Times. It's their first studio album since 1996's Justice, and it also commemorates the band's 50th anniversary. Here's the part that made me think, wow, that's unexpected. Some of the songwriters that have contributed to Good Times, Death Cab for Cutie's Ben Gibbard and Oasis's Noel Gallagher. They wrote songs for this album.
Wow.
And another person, Weezer's frontman, Rivers Cuomo, he wrote a song called She Makes Me Laugh, which I believe we have.
Look at your watch now.
Nope.
You're a super hot female. You got $1 million contract.
Not,
and you're still
not
waiting for your hot track.
That's
although,
not the clip.
Although really good.
Yeah.
And I could listen to that forever. No, this is actually Rivers Cuomo.
Okay.
Again.
Again, what?
No, I don't. I think that's the wrong one.
All right.
Kevin.
George Lucas raped a child.
Nope.
And he really didn't as well. It's called She Makes Me Laugh. It's probably just under She Makes Me Laugh. Maybe she. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got to have that.
Maybe I should take her on safari. You'll see us wave from our canoe. If that's what she wants to do. Tell me what's wrong with that. She makes me laugh, she makes me smile, and I could hang out with her all day and night. She makes me laugh.
That is the hottest sound of 1968.
Sure is.
Yeah, well, it sounds very Monkees-esque, but also you could hear Weezer doing that, don't you think?
Yeah, but better.
But better.
This
okay.
Saturday at 1 p.m. on Antenna TV.
Okay. What's that?
I'm going to be on the Monkees.
What?
When I was a kid, one of my first things I ever did for TV or movies or whatever was the Monkees.
You were on the Monkees?
And I
no way.
Played on The Prince and the Pauper. And that's going to be at 1 o'clock Saturday on Antenna TV.
All right.
Is that a channel?
It's 1 o'clock L.A. time.
Okay. You mentioned
that. I have to check listings to find out. When it's in the town near you.
Well, you
that's this Saturday.
One.
On June the 20th.
Okay.
The Monkees. Because they've been showing the Monkees every Saturday. They show two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
1 and 1:30.
Okay.
Yeah. You're the 1 o'clock.
And that's it. 1 o'clock this
okay,
Saturday.
Yeah.
Prince and the Pauper.
Okay.
And you'll see yours truly.
Okay.
Who's that?
Rodney is a kid on the Monkees, by the way.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good stuff. In case you're wondering, well, when can I get some of that sweet Monkee tour love?
Is anyone wondering that?
Nope, but if you were, original band members Mickey Dolenz and Peter Tork kick off a tour in May for Good Times. Mike Nesmith is actually on the album. He's another living Monkee.
Okay.
But he will not be on the tour with them, so it's Good Times.
All right.
With
the
me.
Monkees.
Yeah.
Rodney's with you.
He is. I bet he'll be at all the shows, don't
you think? Of course.
Traveling with him?
Playing tambourine?
That would be so awesome.
Like a monkey.
What do you say we wrap this up?
Please.
All of these stars born today, April the 29th. Michelle Pfeiffer, 58. Master P is 49. Daniel Day-Lewis, 59. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld, 62. And singer Willie Nelson is 83. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. Monday morning, we will have your tickets for the K-Rock Weedy Roast 2016, which, again, go on sale in a little bit over 2 hours at 12 noon today.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
pass it over to me.
I got me a monkey.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Look at me, I've got girl boobs.
Roll another one.
I suck.
Just like the other one.
Do you ever blame yourself?
This one seems to be about cement.
Is it butt stuff?
I don't have another cent.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
I'm just totally psyched. What's going on with that?
Just pass it around.
Smell it.
Surprise, mother!
I just pass it on down.
I think. I'm sorry. I didn't think it would be this hard. But goodbyes are always hard. Especially when I'm the one saying goodbye.
Yeah, I really want to punch you all in the face, except for Allie, because she's a girl. Instead, I'll write her a strongly worded email. And then we can just all move on from this great tragedy. You guys are all dumb and stupid. What am I doing with my life?
Can I just say one thing?
Yes. Goodbye.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
See you around.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.